Happy Halloween will date us.
Happy Halloween. That'll start the whole show, right?
It'll stop the whole show.
It'll start the whole show.
Oh, start it.
Didn't do anything. Wow, I still feel like nothing. I guess I needed a little bit of energy and I didn't get it. I was hoping, I responded to the hater on Instagram.
No.
And they replied with nothing, with silence. So I guess that means I win?
Yeah, or they blocked you.
I don't think they blocked me.
My Instagram disappeared when I got my new iPhone.
Oh, you fancy new iPhone. Well, I have a new Pixel, so whatever.
Yeah, it just disappeared along with everything Google. And then I couldn't find my Google password. And then I got locked out of my Google Mail. And I was just, it was a nightmare for like 48 hours.
Didn't I say old people shouldn't get new phones?
Yeah.
You know what I do with my Pixel? I plug my old Pixel 2 into my brand new Pixel 7 with the cable that came with the Pixel 7. And I said, yeah, just transfer everything over. It transferred everything over.
Well, everything transferred over except
except
Google.
Not everything did.
Except Google. I mean, Google seemed to have locked me out. Like, what was up with that? Everything else came, I think. My pictures seemed to be there. I'd retext all my stupid notes. Everything's there, but the Googleness.
Well,
just...
you can keep telling me that everything went over, but apparently everything did not go over.
Just the two Google things.
Just the two really important things.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Instagram didn't either. Aside from that, it was perfect. Easy transition. You know, 48 hours of hell. And I was not going to call Verizon or Apple for help because I felt stupid.
You want to know what hell is? Hell is getting a link from you.
Ah, oh, why? God.
You know, just a little bit of digital hygiene, maybe?
Digital hygiene.
Yeah. You sent me a link to a YouTube video, but rather than sending me a direct link to the YouTube video, what you sent me was a link to a page of Yahoo search results.
I did?
Which had an, yeah, it was like, what am I seeing here now?
God.
And
what's
then all the articles you sent were from Open Up Apple News.
Yeah, because that's how I get my news.
That.
And you have an Apple phone.
I hate that.
Oh.
I don't have an Apple phone. I just told you I got a
Pixel
7.
Oh, you don't. I'm sorry.
Do you think Apple makes the Pixels too?
I don't know what Apple does.
They're too busy making the iPhones to make the Pixels. They would be wonderful if they would make the Pixels phones. They would be better.
I wish there was one phone company. That made all the phones.
Geez.
No, seriously.
No, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Okay. Anyway, so what I do right? Wrong? Huh?
Well, everything. You did everything right and you did everything wrong.
I see. I get my news through Apple and I just send you the link.
There's a little icon right at the top. It's like an arrow that goes out. It's like a freedom arrow. Let's go and call it the freedom arrow. You hit
the
little
freedom arrow
and it says it gives you a list of things you can do with the story. And one of the things is open it in Safari. Safari takes you to the actual website, to the actual news website, and it'll give you an actual web page. Because, you know, when I line these things up in my browser, I have them all open in tabs. I can't do that with Apple News.
Yeah, you can't do much with Apple News. Sorry about that.
Free your news articles. Free them from
Apple
News.
I'll find the freedom button.
The freedom button.
I don't ever pay attention to that. And half the time I'm sending you shit like at 2 a.m.
I know. I get that. That's fine.
You know, so
it doesn't
really
matter. And at the end of the day, I think... I assume you just take a little bit of joy when you send me these things, knowing that it's gonna blow my top.
No, I have no joy, and I never have any mail.
Well, then you should. This is a really easy way for you to take some joy. It's like, oh, look, I'm going to send him another Apple News link.
Okay. No, I don't want to make your life hard, James. What do you think I am?
This is going to make at least 10 more hairs fall out of his head or turn gray.
My hairs are falling out. I don't know what's happening.
You should enjoy trolling people. Like me.
No.
I totally deserve it. The way I treat you, I totally deserve it.
The way you treat me fine. I don't take anything you say seriously.
That's what prisoners always say.
Right. That's Stockholm Syndrome.
So I have to also berate you for not doing your homework.
What homework?
You didn't come up with a term for people who put input text in the AI generators and what we're going to call these people.
Oh, well, right back at you.
Okay.
Did you do your homework?
Well, I tried.
I tried too, and I came up with the same two things you did, and they were both lame.
Your dog ate it, though.
Inputters.
Awful.
And Maisagers. M-A-I Sagers. I mean, that just.
That was mine.
That was yours.
Awful.
Yeah, I think we should call them texters or art texters. That was the other one.
No, they're not only art texters. I think guessers. No, that's stupid too.
Yeah.
We're still working on that.
Yeah, we're working on that. We'll come up with something. For our two listeners, stay tuned.
Arbiters. They are the arbiters.
Arbiters?
Yeah, an arbiter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, you know, it's not as simple as putting the text in and, oh, look, there's the image. You put the text in, you get some really stupid result. and then you have to keep massaging it.
Well, how do you massage it?
Or you arbitrate which one is the better piece, and then you can iterate off of that one, or, you know, change the text so that it becomes better.
If it's arbitrate, it have to be AI.
Arbiter. No, no, arbiter is okay. Arbitrator or arbiter. Both of those are words.
AI-biter.
Oh, God. We don't have to shove the AI into it, okay?
Yeah, we do. We have
no,
to shove it.
No, we don't. That's awful.
I want to shove it. Anyway, we'll come up with something.
A little subtlety, a little sensitivity, a delicate touch is what is required.
Mm. Yeah, the AI art, I don't know why. I guess it triggers me to some extent. It triggers me and it intrigues me.
I get that. I'm using 5 different ones now.
I've noticed that. Yeah, that last image for our last show art, that was pretty cool. He did that through Midjourney.
Yeah, the last 2 or 3 have been from Midjourney.
Yeah.
So there's Midjourney. Gosh, I can't even remember them
Stable
all.
Stable Diffusion.
Crayon, Stable Diffusion, yeah. Crayon, Dolly. Diffusion B. Mm. That's another one.
Mm.
You know, oh, I must be a master because I'm using all of them. No, that's just scratching the surface.
Right. There's so many.
Crayon is pretty good because right. it is the most reliably gets the idea of what I'm trying to tell it.
Okay.
It also most reliably makes the worst images.
It does make the worst image. I was playing around with that, but
conceptually, like I give it a text prompt and it can figure out what I want. So the components mm-hmm. are there. They're just awful components,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because that's the one that's totally open and free.
Right.
Everything else I'm basically paying for.
Okay.
Midjourney, I tried the image I wanted, Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Was I wanted a person crawling right. on the ceiling, painting on the ceiling.
Right.
Because I wanted to make it look like a crazy person, because right. crazy people paint their ceilings.
Right.
I couldn't get it. No matter, I spent like 2 hours on it, and it just wouldn't even get even remotely close. I kept trying to simplify it and just like person painting a ceiling. Still couldn't get it.
Really?
Person holding a paintbrush, and that came out awful as well. Now, if you want a beautiful woman looking scornfully at you holding a trident, that's okay. You can do that. Or castles. It does castles well. It does a human female face as well. But these more conceptual things are kind of a failure. At least, and that's Midjourney.
I thought it turned out good.
You have some serious complaints about this AI-generated stuff. You think the artists should be protected from it.
Well, I think living artists should be protected from it.
How so?
To me, like artists have honed their skill over many years, decades in some cases. And then particularly living artists, well, actually maybe mostly in the cases of living artists, people are now able to generate images in the style of, like in this one article we were reading, artists say AI image generators are copying their style to make thousands of new images, and it's completely out of their control. And when I read this, I really felt for the artist. And they cite this one artist, Greg Rutkowski, who had a distinctive style with dragons, and he was a really popular fantasy artist. And so for whatever reason, he had like, at the point of this article was written, 93,000 images generated using his name, and he was more popular in the searches than like Picasso or Da Vinci, Van Gogh, any of the deceased artists that are very, you know, people recognize those names. And then they were selling prints made by that AI and having his name in the title.
Well, his name, this was a different artist that was complaining about.
Oh,
that.
No. Oh, that was a different artist. Okay. Right. Right. That was Simon Stollenhag. So that artist was like, they're using my name.
I have the quote. Yeah, I actually have the quote that Stollenhag had. He says, people are selling prints made by AI that have my name in the title, he said. Mm-hmm. Something like Rusty Robot in a Field mm-hmm. in the style of Simon Stollenhag.
Right.
Which is a super aggressive way of using this technology, end quote.
Right.
I absolutely agree with him. That is really pretty
yeah.
far out there.
Yeah, that is pretty far out there. You know, so there were two artists cited in this article. And it got me thinking, because copyright law doesn't really protect these folks.
Not at all.
You know, it doesn't protect them. And yet they've honed their skills. And now...
Yeah, what can they do? And it's not just skill. Anyone can hone a skill. I think what you're referring to more precisely would be style.
Right, their style, their aesthetic, that whole vibe. And so now someone can knock it off. And I think, was it Stollenhag that said this is the inevitable consequence of putting art on the internet?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but it is a natural progression. It's the robots are coming for our jobs.
Right, right.
They're coming for all the jobs eventually. And simple robots did simple things.
Uh-huh.
And now as they get more complex, they're coming for more and more jobs. And how do you stop that, or should you stop that?
I think they'll come for our jobs to some extent. I don't think that the AI, you know, I think there's always room for robots. I don't know. Does that make sense?
There's always room for robots.
There's always room for robots. Let's put that on a t-shirt and see how far that gets us.
Most people didn't cry when the robots replaced the line workers at, you know, the Ford factory.
Oh, I think some people cried.
Oh, yes. I'm saying some people did, like the unions and whatnot. But most of the people above there is like, oh, well, you know, it's just automation. What are you going to do?
Right.
And now when they're coming for the more kind of white-collar-ish jobs, their creative jobs, people are getting a little bit more worried about it. Or at least there's more talk about it because these are the same circles that, you know, writers and journalists revolve in, right?
Right.
So it's like, oh, it's actually finally coming home to hit your home.
Right. And, you know, musicians, I think it's taken, you know, the arts, not by storm, but I think it's definitely out there.
It's coming.
It is coming. I don't know. How do you feel about like a line worker versus an artist? Do you see them as the same?
No, they're not the same. But at the end of the day, they are the same. At the end of the day, it's two jobs that could be potentially lost, right? To automation and, quote, we're talking about robots. We're talking about artificial intelligence robots, basically in the same kind of context of the evolution of technology that starts with replicating human work, and where does that end?
Right.
It could, and we don't know where that ends. It may well have a natural stopping point where it can't be smart enough to do certain things, or it may not. It may actually not only replace all of our jobs, but become smarter and do jobs that we can't even imagine yet.
It could. But in the case
we don't know.
No, we don't know, but in the case of like a line work, I just keep seeing like the car manufacturers in my mind.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I do see a difference between a car manufacturer lineup and an artist.
I do too. But it's a level of complication of work.
Right.
But you can be taught how to work on a line, on a manufacturing line, a lot more quickly and easily than you can be taught how to be an artist or a painter or an illustrator. But at the end of the day, like I said, they're both jobs.
Right.
So I don't really see them as being different in that way. But it is a progression, right? It's upping of the ante, as one might say.
Right. And so, because U.S. copyright law only protects artists against reproduction of their actual artworks, not from someone mimicking their style. And that goes across the board, whether it's AI or I'm drawing a mouse with pants on, as long as I'm not drawing Mickey Mouse, right?
As long as you don't have round ears on it.
Right.
So that's an interesting point, though, is the copyright protects the artist to some degree, right? Very clearly. Does not protect the line worker at all. Right. That's an indication of the different levels of work output.
Exactly.
Now, copyright is probably a lot more restrictive than most people realize. Copyright really only applies to something that a human has made and the actual thing that they've made. If I draw a picture of you, if I do a portrait of Catherine... The work, that actual work or that photograph is copyrighted. So you can't make a copy of it. You can't make a copy of it either, you know, through taking a picture of it or taking a screenshot or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't make a copy of it and then use it to make money. And you can't also replicate it. Like if I take a photo of you and someone makes a photographic realistic drawing from my photo so is that it's basically completely based on it, that's also copyright infringement. But that doesn't stop other people from taking portraits of you. Or using the style that I generated to create that portrait and using that to make portraits of other people.
Right. Which is the rub with these AI generated images, because those, like that portrait of me, just hypothetically, would be out there. And then they could search, you know, James in the style of James photography.
James. Just James, because that's James. How famous I
yes,
am.
Yes. We're just, you're like Sting. Okay. It's like... And so, you know, they could pull that down. And that to me is the rub.
I have no protection over either of those variations. Either you take my style and use it on something else, I have no protection for that. Or you take my subject and use it for something else. Again, no protection against that.
Right. The AI generated images, you're saying, just lack like human authorship?
That's one component. Mm-hmm. Another question arises, is the work that is generated by the AI image generators, can that be copyrighted? And right now, there seems like there's a leaning towards it cannot be copyrighted since it's not being done by a human. But you could also counter argue that the text prompt is the work by the human, and the tool, the AI generator, is just the tool. So it's like a paintbrush is a tool. So they're just using. So there's some argument there, but it also opens up an interesting hole in the whole idea of copywriting the style, because very clearly settled law that you can't copyright a style.
Right.
But that's under the assumption that a human being is copying the style to use it in some other way, right? So you can do that's legal. I can mm-hmm. copy Picasso's style and use it elsewhere as long as I'm not copying one of his actual paintings.
Right.
But now that tool is an AI, is a computer tool, mm-hmm. and has a mind of its own to some degree, mm-hmm. I think that opens a wedge or a crevice through which copyright might be expanded and utilized to protect the artist, potentially.
At least the living artist, because one of the components of this article, the artists were saying that, you know, they're worried that their work will be losing its value because so many can just say in the style of Rutkowski and then pull it
yeah.
up. You know, so that's troublesome to me.
Right. There's a legal argument and mm-hmm. then there's the moral argument. The moral right. argument, I think it's pretty clear
right.
that it's immoral to use an AI generator to create an image based on a living artist's work and then to try to sell that image.
Yes.
That almost borders on trademark. You know, trademark is mm-hmm. Protection where the trademark is applied specifically to protect the consumer from mm-hmm. buying a false, you know, a knockoff, right? Like you can't market something as being Pyrex. If it looks like a Pyrex and you're fooling people into thinking it's Pyrex, then that's you've broken trademark mm-hmm. law. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same thing with AI art, right? If you're fooling someone to buying it, thinking it is actually a Rutkowski, and it's not, there's no clear distinction there, but I think there is precedent through trademark that you could make that distinction. And again, because it's not a human doing it, it's an AI, it's a computer doing it.
But the AI wouldn't have looked for Rutkowski's images, but for the prompter or whoever, right. you know, to say in the style of, and this is a living artist who's honed his skill over many, many years to come up with his own vibe. And then now people are like in the style of, and they could market it as in the style of. Does that denigrate his work? Does that take it down a peg? Does that allow anyone now who wants to market, or if he was, I don't know what his whole line of work was, if it was just like for, I don't know what he did, you know, in terms of like commercial stuff.
I don't know the extent of his work, but it sounded like a lot of it was coming from movie posters or game posters or artwork like that for industries. And that's, you know, a pretty clear pipeline where you want good, high quality work, and AI generators are not.
They're not
going to
be.
Not right now. Who knows if they ever will, be next week. It might be next week that they can do
it.
Well,
yeah, because even from the time that you and I started talking about this several podcasts ago, and we've touched on AI generation for, you know, several of our episodes now, I think it's come just in the weeks we've been discussing this. It's either unfolding as we're talking about it or we're becoming aware of it.
Well, it's advanced. The technology
Exactly.
Diffusion B has had several iterations. Midjourney is clearly getting better. Crayon mm-hmm. is probably the one that's making the most leaps and bounds, even though it's still the output is still kind of questionable. It's still getting considerably better.
What needs to be done? Are there steps in place, you know, to prevent? I mean, these artists who are discoverable, like that database we discussed several weeks ago, you know, you can input an artist's name and see if you're in the database whereby the AI was trained to find your work.
So let's imagine that you do, in fact, get the AI generating algorithms to remove artists' references mm-hmm. to artists. So they mm-hmm. have to take those images out of the database. So theoretically, you can't train them on that style. I think of that as being a kind of a superficial fix because you can still, based on what you tell the AI generator, mm-hmm. you can still get that style, right? You just have to do more work to the point where you're describing it more thoroughly, like a gray, atmospheric, dreary, overcast. You can use other words to basically replicate the style without having, it's kind of a shorthand. Using the artist's name is a shorthand for the style.
It is a shorthand, yes.
Maybe that's a good thing. It would probably cut down a lot of the people doing this to generate images quickly who don't really understand what they're trying to generate.
Exactly.
But it's not going to stop someone from using the image generator to create an image in the style of someone if they can kind of deconstruct the style and can convey that with text.
And I'm kind of flipping my argument here, but like in terms of like just pre-AI, didn't artists do that anyway? You know, you looked at a style and you developed a style, and whole schools of art were based on stylistic inspiration.
No, exactly.
You know, so it's like therein doesn't lie a problem for me because I think that's how art was always done. But it's just like using someone's word. But that was also done by artists who were, you know, trained or honing their own skill, and they were artists. And now it's just, not that anybody is just less than an artist. I'm not saying that, but it really does open it up to anybody. And like you said, without the understanding, without the background, without the knowledge.
Well, I'm not sure that it's important to have the background or knowledge, but having the background and knowledge makes you a better creator when it comes to AI generation. Mm-hmm, if you have a catalog of styles in your head that you can pull from to help to guide the AI, that's what's going to create a good result. All those things are basically mental processes, right? Creating a style or using the AI in such a way that you can get the what you want. And that is specifically what is not protected by copyright.
Exactly.
Quote, the mental process.
It never was, irrespective of copyright. Yeah, it never was.
I guess an interesting analogy would be like the beginning of photography.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we had copyright laws like we do now. We didn't
probably
have copyright
not.
Laws.
That was like the early 1900s, right?
We didn't have copyright laws at the beginning when photography came out, like we do now.
Right.
But it was the same kind of thing. Like you could take a picture of a painting and you could, that's making a copy of it.
Right.
And it took a while to figure out what part of that is legal and what part of that is not legal. And AI is a little bit like that too, because you can take a picture basically of someone's style and reuse it. And that's the real rub here, is that the AI is not a mental process unless we're going to decide that AI are alive and thinking sentient things, which is a whole different ballgame. I don't think we're quite there yet.
I don't think we're quite there yet either. And I don't think the images are that.
That's the loophole, is that it's not the AI is not a mental process, so you can't copyright the work. But it also leaves this opening for possibly the artist to have some feedback and say, you know, you can't do this because it's not a mental process. You're copying my work, but it's not a mental process. Kind of like a photograph is copying without a mental process.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I would like to see the artist have a little more say in terms of, you know, these search engines. I really would like that.
How much art can there be in artificial intelligence?
Right. How much art can there be? I mean, I think that's kind of what we're looking at. It's like...
Yeah, NPR looked at it. And I didn't have a problem with the NPR piece so much, but I think they did overplay how successful these can be. I keep repeating myself that you put a prompt in and either you get something good or you get something crazy and you can spend hours trying to get what you want and never actually get what you want.
Right.
Where NPR said, oh, you know, he typed in his name. So Kai Ryssdal, you know, he's a famous person. He types in his name, Kai Ryssdal eating a sandwich in space. And he actually gets pretty reasonable output. But that, you know, not everyone's going to get that. Not everyone is recognizable. He got lucky.
Yeah, he got lucky. But the article also talked about, you know, we revisited the Colorado State Fair.
Right.
And Jason Allen's first place for Theater de Opera Spatial, which they said in the article looked a little like an ornate Renaissance painting set on another planet. But it was from the perspective not of the first place person, you know, Jason Allen's work. It was from Ashley Martin, who took second place in this. And her quote was, oh, cool, I lost to a computer. And we have to remember that they entered their work into a digital art category. There was not a separate category for AI generation at this point.
Right. So this is growing pains.
Mm-hmm. It is.
For two reasons. One, it probably should be a separate category, as we've discussed before.
Yes.
And again, the one that did win the theater opera spatial, I can't remember.
Right, yeah,
it's
Jason Allen.
It's such a pretentious name.
Right.
That is a good example of a Midjourney image because a lot of the details are just completely flubbed. Like her arm kind of just ends and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But the overall
vibe was there.
Yeah, the overall vibe of the piece was successful.
Right.
Whereas the second place work was a lot more finished. Like
right.
You can see the rat and there's nothing left out.
Right. And she actually did that and then finished it with the digital stuff. And so she says at the end, you know, it's like, I think that what Jason Allen created was art. You know, AI is still art. It just belongs in a different category than what she does. And I think that's, like you said, it is growing pains. But what I found interesting about that was that David Holtz, the founder of Midjourney, was saying that, you know, business owners, game designers, people in the movie industry are using it. And he said, tech like this will change the artist's work, but smart employers won't use it to replace them. I thought that was really interesting.
That sounds like kind of like a PR thing. I think in the back of his yeah, in the back of his mind, I think he'd be perfectly happy if Midjourney replaced a bunch of illustrators, because then
because
then he'd be selling Midjourney into more companies and he'd be making a lot more money.
Yeah, and would he be just selling Midjourney, or would he be selling the output? Like, would he be the copyright holder?
Well, that's a good question. I think right now his, it seems like he's just selling the platform. Like, he's selling Midjourney as a tool.
Right.
Now, whether he becomes a service firm, that's an interesting concept, because then you'd have different service firms with different AIs, and they would give you different results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then do they own the image as opposed to any generator?
I think it's going to be hard to apply copyright to images, but it's, you know, once the, it's going to be up to the courts once this eventually winds up in a court, and then we'll see.
Yeah, I really want to see Ashley Martin's new work, though. Like, and the quote from the article, I thought this was precious. She said, the first one I'm working on, she's using AI now, and she's been experimenting. And so the first one I'm working on is a robot stomping on my head. I'm trying to pull the cord to the server to shut it down. So I've got, like, the cord in my hand, and the robot's got a paintbrush and is coming after me. I would love to see that.
I think she'd have better success if she just tried to illustrate that manually rather than trying to spend the, I mean, you're going to spend hours trying to get the AI to get that just right.
Right.
Or even remotely right.
Right.
Remotely right. Whereas if she spent the same amount of time just drawing it.
Because she's really thought about it, and she's talented, and she knows how to use the digital.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what you're going to get when you do it yourself.
Exactly.
Manually.
And I think that's.
Whereas this other one you said, the AI generated selfies could be the next Snapchat filter.
Right, right.
Was the perfect example of AI not really getting it right.
Right.
I mean, it looks at first blush,
right,
all these examples they show is like, oh, I get it. And then you take the second, it's like, oh, well, the one where he's a pilot in Top Gun style, he's got an extra arm. this one guy who did the article, he uploaded a selfie, put it in this program, is supposed to analyze it and then output it into different types of art styles.
Yeah, the program is draw anyone.
And one that he put in was Basquiat, and the Basquiat is a complete failure. This does not look like anything like a Basquiat.
It doesn't. Yeah, the program
even remotely.
Not even. And the program is called Draw Anyone.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was interesting is like that the creation of the software, it was created by software engineers, and then they built it on the platform.
That's the most interesting part. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but
happening
is a lot of these little AI generators are not done by Elon Musk, and I make that reference because he's the one who
started
the company
this.
Behind DALL-E is part
Musk,
Elon
right.
is part of that, but a lot of what's going on now is that since all this AI stuff is open source, there are just programmers coming out of the woodwork to do their own version of it,
right?
And that's crazy because you got a lot of people doing a lot of different things, and someone's probably going to strike gold. It reminds me a little bit about the early internet, like people. Some journalists were crazy about, oh my God, this is going to be crazy and it's amazing. It's going to revolutionize everything. And it eventually did, but it didn't do it immediately. And there were a lot of fits and starts, a lot of things that people thought were going to be the next big thing failed miserably. Pets.com, like everybody was so excited about that and it failed miserably. You don't even remember Flickr. And that was like literally the biggest photo site on the internet for a while.
Right.
And then it failed.
Yes.
So it reminds me, it's like the gold rush right now. You have just a wave of talented people doing all kinds of crazy things, and we just don't know where it's going to end up. It's a tsunami of talent. And the last thing you sent me was weird. It's like a backwards AI. You upload your image and then it would insult you.
Yeah, the title of the article is People Can't Stop Feeding Their Selfies Into a Super Mean AI. I thought this was funny. I don't know why.
It was funny.
It made me laugh.
It's quirky.
It is. So evidently, there's this new AI that instead of generating images, it analyzes them and then spits back
text prompts. It tries to reverse engineer text prompt what would get you to the final, what the image that you uploaded, a selfie of yourself. So,
right. Yeah. The AI is known as Clip Interrogator. But I didn't play around with it at all.
Right. So the idea is you upload your image and it tries to create the backward a text of what would create that.
Yeah.
For their AI. So. But it turns out that it's usually most of the prompts that it returns are demeaning.
It just
insulting.
Roasts people. Yes. Yeah.
And we're not clear if that was the intent or not. So this is just one of those things. It's like an experiment. It's like a mad scientist doing an experiment, and they don't know what's going on.
They don't know what's going on. And they don't even know what the intent was. You know?
And I think it's worth reiterating that a lot of AI is based on not explicit programming.
Yes.
But this kind of weird programming, I don't understand this. I don't know how they even get to this point, but they have a database of content, whether mm-hmm. that be images or text or stars or whatever it is. And then they have this kind of magical program that doesn't explicitly do anything, but they mm-hmm. feed it this content and it sort of tries to analyze, the program tries to automatically analyze it and then reuse that information in new ways.
Right. So it's like you're filling its brain. But, you're giving it a brain, basically.
But you're not giving it a brain. No. That's the whole thing. It's not explicit programming, right? Like old programs, like every single thing a program did was explicitly programmed into the program to do that. These AI generators, people don't really understand how they're working.
That's so
they're
creepy.
Just kind of dumping this information into a system that is a kind of black box. It's doing something, but the programmers don't really know exactly what it's doing.
Right. So what do you think the intent was of this? Because one of the last...
Well, I don't know. Sentence, I don't even really care.
I care because I think it's funny. It's like, is the creator trying to give us insight into how AI peers back at us, or did they tune it to be as mean as possible? Or is it something else going on? It doesn't make sense to me. Or maybe it is a gag, you know, oh, we'll just do this reverse prompt and like it'll just roast everyone. And it's a big ha-ha funny
thing.
It
could be.
You know,
or... the person is being not exactly clear about what their intent was. So
right.
I think it's up to...
Right.
And I don't know, Catherine, don't you think the internet's too nice?
Too nice? No, I think
the
internet's nasty.
I think people are way too polite. They're too much, you know, too much manners. I think it needs more meanness, right? More trolls.
Oh, hell no. That's why I got off Twitter ages ago. No, yeah. I can't stand, you know, meanness. You know, it's like...
It's like, that was my point, though. It's like, do we really need more meanness on the internet? Do we
right.
need AI to be mean now? Are we not mean enough to each other?
I know you upload a picture, you know, your selfie, and it's just like, you look like a potato or something. I mean, it's just, who wants that? Who needs this? But I thought it was funny.
There's enough meanness in the world as it
yes.
is. Or maybe this is the point at which we see how mean AI can be, and that it's a reflection on ourselves, and then we become aware of how mean we are, and then maybe we stop being so mean.
Maybe. That would be great if anyone would actually take the time to think about what you just said.
Yeah, the problem is I like being mean to you, so I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I don't think you're mean to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just ruins my day if you don't think I'm being mean
it
to
does.
You. What's the point then? What's the point? It's like an artist. Like if you don't see the value in an artist's work, what they're doing is valuable, then why should
what
they continue?
What is the point?
What's the point of me going on if I'm not being mean to you?
Oh, just you have to go on.
What's the
on,
point?
Though. You have
I
to
don't
go
think
on.
So. I don't think so.
Oh, gosh. Where do we go from here?